Hey, podcast listeners, it's Michael Shelley here. Okay, in 2010, I interviewed Emmett Rhodes, and it was a really unusual interview. Somebody I pursued for a long time and finally found a non-dead end, and when I spoke to him, it was just very unusual. If you've heard it, because I recently re-ran it on the podcast about a month ago, I think. 6 weeks ago, I don't know. It's really unusual. So I didn't know what to expect this time around. He has a new record out. If you remember, in 2010, I asked him, he said he had a new record out, and he said it would be out by October of 2010, and here we are 6 years later, and the record is finally out, or a record is finally out, and just, an unusual guy. Reaction to this interview was mixed. Most people thought he was an interesting guy and sort of forgave him for being unusual. Other people sort of called him out, and very interesting. The 2010 interview got turned into a YouTube video, which has over 16,000 views, or no, it has just about 16,000 views, which is kind of surprising to me. There's a lot of very interesting comments on that too, including from some people that claim some connection to him or his family, and again, they go both ways. Some people behind him and some people not at all, so sort of interesting. But as I always say, there's the music to listen to, and I highly recommend that. The 2010 show is 2 hours of just his music in the interview, so if you're interested in sort of getting an overview of his whole career in music, check out the archive of that program. It's over at wfmu.org/Michael. That's about it. You really just have to listen for yourself. His new album is just out. It just came out a couple days ago. It's mentioned in the interview, so I won't go over it now. But I want to also remind you, our fundraiser starts March 6th. And I have made an amazing premium, a thank you gift for those who pledged during my program, or select this premium from the pull-down menu. WFMU.org/marathon is the place to go, or WFMU.org/superhits. It's a CD called Super Hits of the 70s Hit Explosion, and it features a bunch of songs that were created just for this project. They are covers of songs that were top 40 hits in the 1970s, and they've been done by contemporary bands, like I said, all unreleased previously, all exclusive to this, and I'm proud of it. And I think it's a worthy of your pledge, it's a worthy way to say thank you to the folks who pledged to the station. So please check it out, like I said, wfmu.org/superhits or wfmu.org/marathon to pledge. And I hope to see some of the folks in the comments of the pledges saying, hey, I'm a podcast listener, podcast subscriber. Okay, here it is, Emmett Rhodes, my second go-around with him. And comments, always welcome, michaels@wfmu.org.
You ain't no good, I hear her say, under her breath as she turns away. I'll take the car, I'll take the house, I'll take the kids and then I'll turn you out. I was led along like a dog on a chain, out in the cold, out in the rain. I was led along like a dog on a leash. I did as told while she did as she pleased. I was led along like a dog on a mine. It only works when you're she pleased. I was led along like a dog on my knees.
All right, there's Dog on a Chain from Emmett Rhodes, and it's from Rainbow Ends, just as I was saying, which has just come out on Omnivore Recording, and he comes back to this program. Welcome back to this program, Emmett Rhodes. How are you?
Okay, now, I think I just mentioned that. I'm suffering the flu. I guess it's the flu. I don't know. I was sitting at Denny's, and I had this child next to me that was just coughing, and the next thing I know, I'm, like, snotting, blowing my nose, and having difficulty breathing. Now, that's the truth. Now, I don't know if you want to put that on the radio or not.
I strive to put the truth on the radio. I mean, your first LP in 43 years has just come out. Does in no way that buffet your spirits?
Oh, well, all of the, yes, all of that stuff is wonderful, isn't it? Or at least I think it is. I like the songs, and I'm hoping other people do, too.
So that's important to you. That's good to know. So it's been 43 years, and you were on this program in 2010, and we sort of discussed your whole history. You started so young in playing in bands in Hollywood, night after night, and then getting signed and making records and stopping making records when you're 23, and then it's been a long time. This song, Dog on a Chain, with Amy Mann singing on it, the lyrics...
She was so tender and so sweet. I thought she... well, whatever. She, like, really did a wonderful job, and it was so nice of her to come down and do this.
Yeah, she's a great singer, and I think she has a particularly good ear for melody.
Not only that, a wonderful person.
Yeah, that's good. She's got a good ear for harmony, I think, and for melody, and I think she's a good, perfect match.
She has a wonderful voice that it was just, I'm not sure I know the right word, but it was fragile. It was something that, in this particular song, she did extremely well.
Yeah, so I take it the lyrics to that song are pretty much autobiographical. It seems like you're not a punches-holding guy.
Okay, well, I really don't feel as if I was holding back any punches, if that's what you mean.
Yes.
You know, when you have a great deal of heartache, and you felt like you've been treated badly, do the best you can and love those you can. Well, I'm being, philosophic here.
Does writing a song like that, is it a cathartic act?
Well, it was truth. I felt better afterwards. It states exactly what I feel. And, I'm not sure that I'm in great spirits today to do this because I'm not feeling well. But nonetheless, I speak from the heart because I don't really have anything else to speak from. I'm not so smart. I'm not real intelligent. I'm not real well-read or world-traveled. I just know I know what it's like to be in space traveling on a planet through the universe.
Well, I think everyone can relate to that. I think we all do that all day long.
Well, yeah, and we're probably millions of miles away from where we were when we started this conversation.
I think you're 65 years old. You've had an interesting...
66. That was 66. My birthday yesterday.
Oh, well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
What timing? So you've had, you were diabetic last we spoke. You've had a real up and down life, career. How are you physically, mentally these days?
Well, sometimes I'm smart, sometimes I'm stupid. It depends on how much blood sugar I have in my brain. I pass out on occasion. I don't know what to tell you, but being a diabetic's no fun.
Yeah. you've got a whole group of younger generation people on this record.
All wonderful guys that are just—they're wonderful people and they're wonderful players.
Just a core—the core band on the record is really good, really sympathetic to the songs. And then there's some guests who sort of come in a little bit here and there who all add a few things. But you know, John Bryan and Jason Faulkner and Roger Manning and Susanna Hoffs and Nels Klein and Amy Mann—we talked about and guys from the Brian Wilson band. Is it weird to be an influence? To have folks come to you and say, you know, I'm an influence, you know, you influenced me. How does that feel?
I'm proud. I don't know what else to say. What a wonderful thing for them to say to me. And it isn't as if I didn't do my best. You know, I mean, I tried to do the best I knew how.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, regardless of your story, it's the music is, in some way, speaks very much for itself. We can listen to your whole output, and it speaks for itself. And I think people are obviously still reacting. You know, you're still, the first time someone hears, you know, a merry-go-round record or one of your solo records is a great moment for a lot of people. So there's 11 songs on this record. You wrote all of them. I think three are co-writes. The rest you wrote by yourself. Tell me just, you know, quickly about the process. Do songs come easy? Do they come hard? Do they come all at once? You know, is it chipping away? How do you do it?
I work on them. It's work to me. I write 10 times more lyric than I need. I pick the best of the lyric that I have. I rewrite the chord progression until it sings to me. And then I put a melody to it.
So the lyrics come first without any music?
Well, they kind of, when you change the chord progression, sometimes you have to change a few notes. So that's what I'm considering. But nonetheless, no, I kind of get a melody when I'm with the lyric at the same time. And then once I get a lyric that I like, then I use that lyric to replicate. Because I write verses that have the same amount of notes in them, kind of like Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Gotcha. Is it fair to judge you by your lyrics? Because the lyrics are printed on the inside of the record, which is made very interesting reading. I mean, you're kind of beating yourself up a little bit on this record, but you're also sort of exercising demons.
I'm a person who loves people and hates them at the same time. I don't know what else to tell you. It's a dichotomy of feeling here. When it comes to my songs, I'm trying to be as truthful as possible. I use phrases that have been told to me. I write my feelings, and I try to express them as best I know how.
You're scheduled to play down South by Southwest, which is down in Texas. Do you like to play live now? I mean, I sense a little anxiety from you. Is it something fun for you to go, to travel, to play live in front of an audience? Will you tour for this record?
I'll do the best I can, and I'm hoping, you know, I can't sing. I didn't sing last night because I was doing a lot of yelling. I was just having way too much fun. And not being careful with my voice, and I sound now like Alfalfa in if you remember the Argangos. Anyway, going through puberty, it's even worse than that. Sometimes I can't control the pitch. Yeah? And nonetheless, I'm hoping I get better.
Yeah, but
I'm gonna do the best I know how, and I'm gonna be and. Always. I don't know how to do anything else.
Are you going to try to go on an actual tour of any description for, you know, recent?
Hoping I get healthy, and I'm hoping that I can sing one of these days, because it really scares me when I sing. I can't sing these songs. And it isn't as if these songs are in high. I mean, it isn't as if these songs are like what I wrote in the merry-go-round when they were all real high.
Right, when you were 19 years old. Well, now you're 66.
That's right.
Yeah.
And now I'm old, and I'm going, oh, my God, you know.
Well, that's why God invented capos.
I'm sorry.
I say that's why God God invented capo so that you could, you know.
Oh, so you can change the key. Well, I'm telling you, I can sing Happy Birthday, but it's at my voice. You know, I'm not going to dwell on this because I really don't want to scare myself. But I'm hoping I get my voice back, and I'm doing the best I know how. I'm not talking to people much, and I'm not singing because it hurts. I hurt myself when I do. So as soon as I make some money, I'm going to the doctor.
So the singing on the record is lovely, and I talked to Chris Price yesterday, who produced this record and helped me put it together. And Chris and you did a great job sort of managing to make a contemporary-sounding record that's reverent to your history and serve the songs well. And I know that others have tried. There's been some false starts. Why now? Why did it work this time?
Well, let me start with thank you very much for your comments. Chris is a wonderful man, and he's done a wonderful job producing me. We used his laptop. Now, this is totally foreign to me. I mean, I'm old enough to go back to wire recording. So, you know, when I made records, it was all on tape. And it was like, at the end of it, if your tape didn't have a bunch of splices in it and a bunch of chalk marks on it, you didn't do a good job. This is all done electronically or in the computer, and it's a wonderful medium. I'm looking forward to getting my own laptop one of these days.
So why now? Why did this project come off now?
Well, because basically Chris asked me to play some songs for him, and I played them, and he liked them, and he thought that he could make a record. You know, he's made a number of records, and they're all really good. You know, so I was really confident that he could be and pull this off and do a good job. I was right. So there.
I read that the record was made, at least the basic tracks were cut rather quickly. Tell me just a little bit.
In two sessions. We didn't get together, every month. And, or every day. We did these sessions, and it was basically two sessions to do all the tracks.
That's amazing.
For dubbing, and it was the mixing, and it was the Q&A stuff about do you like this, do you not like this, you know, that kind of. And we edited it, we cut it and pasted, we redid choruses, we did stuff that people that worked with wire recorders would have never been able to do, or even me when I was working with tape would have never been able to do. A wonderful medium. I love Pro Tools. I'm going to testify to it. I hope they give me a copy.
maybe they're listening, the Pro Tools
people. I'm hoping they are. I want it in the mail with a laptop.
Some of your solo records recorded in your garage with a tape recorder and just you doing all the instruments. It is a long journey from there to Pro Tools and moving things around, virtually. Did you just fall back? Did you surprise yourself with what you had to contribute to the recording, or is it just like getting a bicycle and going?
I'm not certain I understand that question, but surprise myself, no. I'm a very knowledgeable person. I understand mixing, and I understand. I read my physics book. I understand the mechanics of recording. I don't. I just kind of like. I just checked out at the time that cell phones came in and laptops and computers. And it wasn't that I wanted to, it was just that I lost interest. Now I'm interested again, so there.
So what is your life like these days? What is a typical day?
Well, I wake up in the morning and I feed the squirrels by putting some peanuts on my fence post. And then I feed the birds by breaking up some crackers and throwing them some sunflower seeds. And I watch the sun come up, and I have a wonderful life.
You talk a lot about expressing love for people and trying to find, paths to love. How does one go about that?
Well, I think the most important thing that I've ever done was discover my own feelings. was to know who I am, was to know that I have a good heart, that in push comes to shove, I'll do the right thing. Not that I won't think about doing the wrong thing, but push comes to shove, I'll do the right thing, and I'm proud of myself. It's like virtue is, you know, is its own whatever the reward.
Is that a tough process to discover self-discovery?
When I came out of the womb, I thought the world revolved around me. How about that? Is it a tough process? Yeah, it's life. You live it. Hopefully, you learn from it.
Yeah. Do you care about the presidential election? Do you care about stuff like that? Do you read the newspaper?
Right, I do. I'm watching it all the time. Boy, are they're calling each other names now.
Yeah, it's a lot like the Little Rascals, actually, in some ways. Yeah.
Okay.
To bring it all together. Last time we talked, you were not seeing your family, your kids. Are you on better terms with them now?
Not really. I wish I were, but divorce is a horrid thing, and mothers have a great deal of influence. And I'm not certain I would have seen, if my mother had divorced my father. I'm not certain I would. Fathers are, boy, I wish there were a book that I could have read that would have told me how to behave. But it's life that does that. And it's the incidents in life and the events that make you understand. So it's taken me a long time to be a 66-year-old.
In some of the lyrics, you say to not trust love in one of the songs on this record.
Well, you know, it depends on what you call love. There's a lot of different kinds of love. There are some people that love them, you know, they love the other person so much they'll kill them before they allow them to be with someone else. That to me isn't love. When you love someone, you want them to be happy, you want them to do well, and you want their life to be good. Well, yeah, love means a lot of things to different people because it's what you think of what love is. When my firstborn came out of the womb, my life changed. All of a sudden, I knew what love was. It's like I had a whole other impression. I loved my wife, but it was sexual, and because she was, I thought, extremely beautiful and exciting, and all. But I loved my child in a whole other manner. There's many loves. Love, I guess, you know, love comes in 50 shades.
I absolutely agree with you. When my daughter was born, it just changed. Yeah, the definition of love, boy, exploded. Yeah.
My heart was full. I hope yours was, too.
Yeah, it still is, yeah. It's just. It's,
there you go.
It's the best thing.
They don't have to love me. I love them.
That sounds pretty healthy. Tell me about music. Is listening to other people's music something that's important to you? Like if you're going to the supermarket or you're driving, are you listening to the radio? Are you bringing music with you?
No, I don't like music at all. I don't listen to it much, unless I have to.
That's interesting. Why is that, do you think?
Because I have to think all the time it's happening. It's like exercise to me. It's like I have to, I can't help but be a critic. I can't help but evaluate what's being said. Is there a focus? You know, do the chords make sense? Is this a good record, a bad record? I mean, everybody does that, I believe. Well, I'm no different. Now, some people, you get some sort of emotional reaction to it. I'm just analytical. I can't help it. And if I have an emotional reaction to it, that is like a remarkable thing for me.
Well, does it then, I'm sure it doesn't puzzle you that after, you know, 50 years, you know, there's people who are super fascinated with recordings you made 50 years ago. I mean, does that make sense to you?
Well, it makes sense to me because 50 years ago when I was making the records then, I did the best I knew how, and I was doing the best I could. And that's, and I'm hoping that that's what people hear.
Yeah. Let me...
And I haven't changed. I, I as soon as my brain got big enough for me to recognize who I was, I suppose it was about 5-6 years old. Nonetheless, I'm the same person. All I've done is learn since then. The changes that have occurred to me or occurred in my life are all because of events that have occurred. And it's like I know better now because I've done everything wrong.
That's how you learn.
I've done right things, too. I mean, there are a few things I did correctly.
Let me remind everybody, Emmett Rhodes is our guest, and Rainbow Ends is the brand new record. It's on Omnivore Recordings. You can go to omnivorerecordings.com, and it's the first real full album from Emmett in 43 years, which is a while. Is creative energy, is channeling that for the past 43 years, is that a problem or is that an issue?
When I stopped making records, I went to work for record companies. I became an engineer, producer. Then I worked for record labels. And after that, I added on to my garage and built a studio, and I rented my studio to others to make money. And I made more money doing that than any other way, that I ever have. And I'm hoping I make more money now because I'm like old and I need a doctor every once in a while. I've never left music. I've always worked with music, and I've never stopped writing. When I was a little boy, my poor parents, I would like rock myself back and forth singing, making up songs until I went to sleep. I've made noise my whole life.
So are there drawers full of Emmett Rhodes songs?
There are cassette tapes. It goes back that far. And there are, reel-to-reels, too.
Wow.
Of a whole bunch of things that I've never completed. I'm going to have to go through them and figure out what it is I want to complete and what it is I want to put on the best of Emmett Rhodes kind of thing.
Yeah. So I still haven't exactly put my finger on what has changed. Has something changed within you that let you finish this product, to let it go out to the human?
Yeah, I made a fundamental epiphany of what it is that chord progression should be, and then I used everything I know to figure out the scale, and I figured out where the diminished chord goes. And once I heard the diminished chord, I realized it was something I've always loved, and I put it everywhere in every song I've written. And there's, only 8 notes in a scale, but then that's, including the octave. And, I use them all. And then I put a few more in there just for fun.
I want to end by playing the song If I Knew Then, which kind of, the song itself talks about a lot of the things that we've talked about this morning.
It's a love song. And it has diminished chords in it.
Does literally every song on the record have diminished chords?
I'm sort of thinking about it. After I made the realization that I could take these chords and jump from one place to the next and still satisfy myself and produce something that I thought was musical, it's like I want a chord progression that sings, and then I want to put a melody to it that sings, and I want them both to be cohesive with one another and symbiotic.
Yeah, with interesting lyrics on top. Yeah.
Well, the lyrics here again are right. I wish I were a happy man, but what I am is a man with a wonderful life. It's happy about all that I've experienced, even though it's not so good.
That's tough. What's stopping you from being happy going forward?
Well, I'd like to rule the world.
But
it's real.
But you're intelligent. You know that's not probable.
That's a problem, isn't it? Being an intelligent animal is a curse.
Being a rock star again and having to sort of promote a record. And
I'm not that intelligent, okay? So I appreciate what you've said, but I'm not real sure I'm going to agree with you.
Well, that's the easy way out. I'm not going to let you off that easy. So the future, is it promoting this record? It's maybe touring. It's maybe getting into these archives. Is it maybe making another record sooner than 43 years from now?
Well, I don't think I have another 43 years. Yeah. So I think I better do that, you know, and I'll do whatever seems to help. I want people to hear this because I'm a songwriter, and what a songwriter really wants is to affect, you know, that you write things for effect. And I want people to hear it, and I want them to like it. And that's, you know, when I'll tell you, when I wrote the song and it affected me, or these songs and it affected me, I felt complete. That was success. Now the whole idea of making money would be really good because I'm old and I got a hammer toe and I need to be able to see the doctor and I want to stay alive for so that I can make another record. Yeah. And that it's money. It's money. This is heaven, and money is evil.
Wow. Okay, well, congratulations on the record. Happy birthday. And
thank you.
I hope you can I hope life keeps getting better, certainly. That's what I wish for you.
Okay. I wasn't trying to give you the impression that my life is bad. I love feeding the squirrels and I love feeding the birds. And I like it when the sun shines and I have a wonderful life. I don't have a bad life. I don't have money, but I'm not unhappy about money. I never did anything for money. I've never had a job. I've always done music. It was always something I wanted to do. So I'm a very fortunate person, and I'm very happy I am. You like what you do?
Yeah, I mean, I have no money either. I don't get paid for this, you know. So.
Well, there you go. You do it because you want to do it.
Yeah.
You are a successful man. I like you.
So let's hear If I Knew Then. Emmett, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. It's certainly more than interesting. And I wish you the best of luck with this new record called Rainbow Ends.
And I appreciate that. Thank you very much for talking to me.
If I knew then what I know now, the blood would have frozen in my veins. Every hair on my head would have stood on end. Every nerve I have in pain. I thought I'd love an open book. How could I be so blind? These days I take a closer look and I read between the lines. If I knew then what I know now, I'd make amends. I'd change somehow. Wouldn't give my heart to just trust an act of faith. How could I be so dumb? I wish I'd looked not once but twice, then turn tail and run. If I knew then what I know now, I'd make amends. I'd change The future is dark and the way not clear. And your fate may be worse than you might fear. Just anyone. If I knew then.